That's trombonist J.J. Johnson with Minor Blues. It's from his 1964 album, Proof Positive. Well, we're going to tackle an interesting question today. This is not the first time we've tackled it, but it is the first time we're going to tackle it this way. And it's about what exactly are you doing to redefine your politics right now as we speak? What exactly are you doing? Barely a month in office, President Trump has marked both his territory and his quarry. And even in the face of widespread opposition, he's making headway with his so-called vision for America. Like it or not, the Trump train is on track and chugging along. Trump's PR machine points out that his get-it-done leadership style and his responsiveness to his determined pledge to keep the faith with his support base is in full effect. His detractors, especially the Democratic Party, seem unable to check his moves. So what is happening here? Is it that Trump is such a brilliant, just a genius, a political genius, this man who just got into the business of politics? Or is it that he timed his entry into national politics when he understood, he saw for himself that the opposition forces had self-destructed, at least to the point where he had a good chance? They were disorganized. They weren't even able to wage a credible campaign. Their funding was lower than they anticipated, and the steam, they never did amount a credible opposition. But that's their fault. And so he said, well, hey, this means it's working to my advantage. But the bottom line still remains, as we speak, most voters on the flip side of Trump's coin were demoralized and or betrayed by the parties and independent movements that they supported. So is it not time to develop a new political leadership? Are we still going to go down the road that the failed parties and movements are on? Is there no alternative but to stick with them or by them, other than to just stretch out on our own and see the best we can do? Look, this is a very serious, really serious development. Right now, as we speak, there's Trump talking with Netanyahu and playing games with our heads. You know, expect a statement that we are agreeing on a two-state solution. You know, there's no two-state solution coming out of this meeting. The idea is still to maintain supremacy, however possible, however they can get it done. Whether it's by executive order, in the case of Donald Trump, or in the case of Benjamin Netanyahu making empty promises that will not be kept, or people just sitting by, watching the whole spectacle, people who should be right this minute going crazy, just as they did in Britain and still are doing in Britain, trying to refuse this man entry into their country because he has been having such a volatile effect wherever he goes. Today, a grocery store chain called Wegman pulled Trump's wines under pressure from the people. Just take his wines off the shelf. Ivanka Trump lost her arrangement, a business arrangement with Nordstrom and other stores selling her products. And we see what this is all about. Look, this is not about doing things for the people. This is about doing for self in a very selfish way. If he were to be impeached right now, he would already have set in motion a whole range of business deals just from the time of election to now. That machine will continue to produce more wealth for his children and grandchildren and their children. They don't have to worry. So while we are busy doing nothing too much to affect the predictable outcome here, we really have to look at what part of this whole thing we should be taking the blame for. We are the ones responsible. I keep commenting, people think I'm just bashing, but I'm not. I'm saying, calling to attention the fact that these movements, independent movements, that should be speaking to us right now, telling us what they see, how, you know, the same things that we're talking here. They should be talking. They should be engaged. They should be fully engaged in putting together an alternative. We have no representation except our feet on the streets. And we are doing the best we can in some cases, but it's clearly not enough. Way too much time has gone by since the election that we should have gotten some inclination right now from the so-called leaders out there and these independent movements and parties as to what's next. But look what we have, an eviscerated Democratic Party that could not even mount credible offenses against the assault of the Trump cabinet members. And this is, the fight doesn't yet start. He doesn't have a full cabinet yet, and already the Democrats are laid down and they've discarded their arms, and they're now basically looking, this is the impression, and I think I'm reading it right, they are in a state of disarray. They're not giving us any indication that they know where they're going. None of the alternative movements, the same, have not told us yet what they're doing, except, you know, they're having news conferences and they're talking and blathering. But the fact is, when we needed them to be there, present and accounted for in an authoritative way, just even to resist the appointees that Trump has in mind, they didn't even do that job. They couldn't even get that piece of business done. I'm fed up with them. As I told you, I just left the political process and decided that to the best of my own ability, I'm going to have to fight it off myself, fight these people myself, dodge them, bob and weave, do whatever it is I have to do, because they're not making sense. They're playing right into this abyss that they created, and they're falling by the hundreds and thousands into it. I mean, how could you say that in February 15th, we're still agonizing about what's coming next? So then it means that the political parties had only their own agenda in mind. If they really wanted to communicate to us, that this was a joint effort and we could count them in, we would have heard something from them by now. We would have seen evidence that they're not dead. They took a beating, but there's hope. They're not giving us any hope here. So we have to move forward with a different approach. The problem is, we too are dead. We've laid down our weapons. And we are trusting that in the end, maybe all will work out just fine. That's not politics. We see no interaction, except, of course, the Women's March we saw. It was not meant to be political interaction as such. It was a demonstration of political will, a desire to get things done, a first step, perhaps, in putting together an amalgamated constituency of all these different groups. But they see some way in which they have a common cause. But there is nothing happening. I shouldn't say nothing. You don't see much happening that would give you reason to believe that people are conscious that the country is in very bad shape. The people who are accustomed to controlling things are controlling things even all the more so. And we are sitting here like ducks. The shooting is going to come. It's going to start, or it's already started. It's going to get even worse. We like sitting ducks. And they still see the world in this one-dimensional way. And the struggle is a raw fight for power. That's it. And we are not part of the equation, so they're not under any obligation to relate to us in a meaningful way. We already see the signs of fascism. You know, we already see the signs of autocracy. And we already see the signs of the marginalization of the people. The wealth is being sucked up already. So we better get serious about what's going on. This is a very, very rough period, and it hasn't really reached the intensity, its intended intensity just yet. It's just barely getting started. So I just want to encourage in this conversation a real honest assessment of what our individual politics must be, or perhaps you're already at work and I know we don't know it, but what our individual and collective politics must be for our individual and collective survival. I hate to feel that I'm talking just to the wind. I want you to understand the situation is very serious, and it's going to get worse very soon. The world is shifting around its power and its wealth. Not too much, but it has done enough of a shift to achieve a very important goal. Eight people in the world, just eight, already own half of the world's wealth. If you had said this, just even a couple of years ago, you'd say, well, you know, that can't happen. It happened. It's already happened. Various countries are organizing their systems of control and punishment. And they are increasingly controlling every aspect of our lives. Our jobs very soon would be simply to follow orders. No room for thinking, no room for challenging, no room for working your own plan. It won't be allowed. They've already wiped out, by virtue of this massive, unprecedented shift in wealth, they've already wiped out the opposition just with that alone. These people of enormous wealth are increasingly, in fact, in many cases, they practically own countries. And we're still talking about, well, you know, this is a democracy, and we're going to go and vote, and I hope so-and-so wins. Our level of engaging in politics has been wiped off the face of the planet a long time ago. We're still stuck at stage one, and we're not resolving that yet. Nor are we interested, it seems, in tackling this yet. We haven't revised our political understandings. We haven't revised our political activism. They are doing A, and we are doing the flip side of A. So we are doing everything according to the terms they set, the methods they set, the philosophies they set. We're just bouncing off. Or we think we are bouncing off an alternative idea, but we're not. This is the time, considering the devastating losses, and I keep saying they were devastating. This is not a joke. The devastating losses suffered by the modest efforts, very modest, of alternative plans just in this last election alone should give us reason to stop, think about what we have suffered here in this election, and figure out a plan. Midterm elections come up next year. We're not prepared. We have been defeated. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's a very healthy thing to embrace. We have been defeated. That is the reality. And in some cases, we have been defeated by our own. When I look at the pitiful performance of members of Congress, I mean, it was embarrassing. There's nothing there. They have no weapons. And they deliberately set out on a track that would make that position an inevitability. They're not fighting. They're happy. They've got a job. If they get sick, they have a hospital guaranteed health care, very good health care. They don't have to worry about their kids' school fees or anything. But although that has been the model, there was a time that they were at least able to put up some kind of a fight, a credible fight. But what do we see? We see them getting indicted for fraud. We see them stealing money. We see them doing nothing, little or nothing that would upset the status quo. When people are really struggling, they're concerned about, you know, putting together news conferences. But in the end, they confirm every single one of the people put before them to be appointed to the cabinet. So they've lost their minds. We have to leave them behind and keep moving. Get rid of them. They are impediments, absolutely impediments to struggle and progress. show no mercy. If our people themselves, the ones we were trying to help, also started playing stupid games like Bernie Sanders and the Green Party, not following a logical line, I'm not impressed with all your understanding of the so-called system. That's not what I'm looking for you for. I already accept that as a startup party, there's no way you can alter the system. But there's a way for you to make a mark. And there's a way for you to keep some level of compatibility and trust with your political base, however small it is. What is the practical thing that you could do? What is the vision for the next 2 years? I'm not even asking for the next 10 years. So I'm not impressed with goals that would have us struggling in a generic, general way. Target one thing and get it done. That impresses me. Report to your constituency what you envision doing and what you have done with their support and their money. That would break tradition. But more than anything, demonstrate that you understand the system and that the plan that you have is workable, doable, achievable. I don't want to hear a litany of things that you cannot succeed at doing in the real political world. So let's have a talk, a frank assessment of where the political system is and where we are in it. Should we be any part of this, or should we operate from now on a I'll take it as I see it attitude, and concentrate on developing your own political power and joining with people who seriously understand that we cannot afford to fritter away time and very limited resources chasing after these hypotheticals and being silly. Wasting time. Now they would say, well, we're young in the business of elections. We're only, you know, our fifth presidential election. And I'm saying, well, whoopee for you. Here's my point. You're relating to life in terms of the mathematics of it. Number five. I'm seeing number 20. For every year of failure, you've blown 5 years. And those 5 years should have been used strategically to gain a strategic advantage. Tell me all about this, and you're for that, and you're for the next thing. And when you add it all up, the bottom line is there is no real achievement, except that some kind of soul-satisfying, self-placating reward that you are involved in people politics. Well, I have news for you. I have news for everybody who, in this situation that we're in, is still, they're in la-la land somewhere. Make yourself relevant to the pressing issues if you intend to help. Don't drag people along your fancies. So here we are. We supposedly are living in a democratic society. And this is one of the most undemocratic periods in our political lives. And it's going to get worse. Your calls after this break at 888-874-4888. Let's talk this thing through. We have to have some kind of reality here. We have to have some kind of realistic appraisal as to where we stand and why it is that we seem to be content now that the election is over to fall back into bad habits that won't get us anywhere and that would only further demoralize people who still have a little bit of energy left and would like to use it, in a manner that benefits not just them, but everybody else. 888-874-4888 after this break.
Hello,
Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. This is my first time calling in, and I just want to start off by giving a huge thanks to you and everyone at PRN. As part of the millennial generation, I spent a long time really excited by the Sanders campaign and already understanding how susceptible the entire election system is to tampering in terms of the vote counts, not just suppressing voters with their registration, purging voters like we saw in Brooklyn, where I live, in terms of what you most recently said about democracy. There's a lot to deal with. But in spite of all the time that I put in and the sacrifice that I made for that campaign, I have to agree with you with the remarks you made about Sanders and the Green Party, both of which I align myself with ideologically. But in terms of what you're bringing up, which is so important about being realistic about how we move forward, how we forge a real effective resistance to Trump, the main point I would like to offer is something that I heard from Debbie at Sane Progressive. She has a video series online. In terms of politics and the whole theme that you started with, when we talk about especially partisan politics, that whole aspect has been obsolete for a long time in terms of Democrat versus Republican. The point that Debbie made and the point that I've come to the conclusion as well is that we don't live in a two-party system. We live in a one-party system right now, that the Democratic and the Republican Party both equally, not one more than the other or less, equally represent the exact same corporate privatized interests, multinational corporate interests.
We've talked about this quite a bit. So I think it's a generally accepted fact now that, yes, it's the uniparty, the Democrats and the Republicans. What I want to ask you today is, sure, what is your political orientation now and how do you develop that?
Great. I think this is such an important question, a conversation that we need to have, because there's so many people on the left that are having a hard time imagining any space or any so-called viable space, the Democratic Party. And we need to be realistic and accept the reality as hard as it is. I grew up in a Democratic household. There's still a place, a childish, I guess, place in my heart for the Democratic Party and the liberal ideals that it stands for. But let's be honest, the liberal ideals that separate the Democrats from the Republicans, let's be really clear about this. Is actually another point that Debbie made that I heard her say, which is very important, that the ideals of racial equality and rights for women and the LGBT community and things like, you know, social issues that the Democrats speak so correctly, politically correctly about, you know, that they put themselves on this pedestal and present themselves as righteous. They only use those issues and talking points to blackmail us into voting for them.
My point is, and we should know this by now, and yes, we should be way beyond this understanding. We should be into a whole different world,
okay,
which speaks to a period of reconstruction individually,
yes,
and collectively. We shouldn't even use the Democratic Party as an example. It's done. We should just
absolutely
assign it its rightful place, which is the ash can of history. Get on to something else. What is that something else? And this is what I want to encourage you to do, which is to think for yourself,
yes,
about what you yourself have noticed. And I'm going to quote your advice. Accept it as the truth, whether it's ugly or, you know, it's unpleasant. But the conduct of the Democratic Party and the what you have witnessed from the Democratic Party should guide you to a place where you have a decision made in your own mind as to what your new politics will be, what your political standards would be, and putting yourself on track politically with respect to the standards that you have arrived at after taking a very sober look at what we got, the messages we got from this election.
Amen.
And I congratulate you for making the attempt already and putting yourself on the track. But the idea is to stick there, develop a level of standards, and begin the process of being your own autonomous political party. And you take a careful look at parties or movements or efforts that are confluent and consistent with your new way of thinking about politics. Okay?
Great. Absolutely.
I'm so delighted that you called. And
I just
invite you
with
to
one
call
question
regularly.
Can I just follow up that with, you know, in
well,
terms
actually,
of answering
we
your...
have a limited amount of time. I just wanted to move along. Just so you know, because you've been listening, you said this is your first time calling. But we can absolutely pick this up on Friday during Free Your Mind Friday. Fridays,
okay, thank
for
you so much.
Speaking about anything. Thank you for calling and addressing the subject. Mike from D.C., what are you thinking?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Pardon my bad manners. I should have said hello and good afternoon and welcome. Okay.
Thank you. And good afternoon to your audience as well.
Thank you for that.
No, I know I've not been able to listen to your program for quite a while, but it's always refreshing when I return and I can, you know, return to this stability and this, you know, amongst all this turmoil, to use a buzzword that's going on now. But I just wanted to kind of piggyback on what the young man said. I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum because, you know, I was born during the civil rights era. So my earliest memories are of tanks, jeeps rolling through the streets of Baltimore during those riots. What we're witnessing is there's like this struggle going on that most people aren't aware of. And there's what is above that we know about, and then there's what's below the surface that we don't. And I think a lot of times we fail to acknowledge when we work with limited information. So, you know, right now something is true based on what you know, but what you know is rapidly changing from day to day, minute to minute, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes sense, which requires of us to move a little more smartly in the world.
Yes, exactly. Yes, ma'am. And there's one central tenet that everybody should really focus on, and that is the fact that if a country doesn't control its currency, especially a consumer-based country, a debt-based country, if you don't control your currency, you don't control the country. So, like
so,
the young man said,
so
there's no such thing
from
as...
From your perspective, your personal perspective now, if you could just give us a little translation of what you said, how has that change caused you to change your political attitude? What are you doing now that you didn't do before?
Well, that I'm saying that you probably need to divorce yourself from this political charade, because it's like you can't influence it. You have no say in it. The system is what is your enemy. These parts of it are of just they're just going to distract you. But
so give us one concrete thing, one definitive concrete thing that you would advance as a workable idea for developing a new political mindset.
Stop using money and start using resources as a medium of exchange, the way that they're doing out west. They're taking all their money and converting it into marijuana. You have to get off of the money and get resources, because the resources are what the others are taking at a rapid pace. They're taking their debt instruments and transferring them into resources. And
well, that's
basically they're
investment.
Robbing the planet of your God-given right, which is the access to the Earth's resources.
Well, so we'll hear more about this when you call in and you have the time to stretch out a little bit on it. But I thank you for calling in and contributing today. Thanks. Let's hear from Khalil, South Carolina.
Good afternoon today.
Hello, Khalil. How are you?
I'm great.
What are your thoughts about this, this fury I think we ought to develop about developing political resources and political alternatives to what we are still experiencing, and which indicate that they will only get worse?
My first thought is to think of you as a teacher and a purveyor of knowledge.
Oh,
and
boy.
I say that because I've been listening to you now for 2 or 3 years, and very often, more times than not, somehow, some way, you're explaining to people in a social work type of way the importance of systems.
Yep.
And if we don't understand systems, that's where you have to start. If you don't start there, you might run into some difficulty. So I'm starting where you are really, you have so much knowledge, and not only that, your music is wonderful, but that's another point. But so,
thank you.
So it is. And you talked about the mighty sparrow, and my old friend is a trainee, and I was thinking about her grandmother. And this, we're at what you would say day clean. She would say day clean. That means we've already wasted enough time. Is that correct?
Yep. That's it. A day clean means whatever existed just before day clean no longer is relevant.
No one's relevant. We have to, okay, so I'm going to be succinct because I know other people want to talk with you also. What we have to do, I'm a big proponent of co-opting. Now, knowing the system, our system is set up in a bicameral fashion. So what we have to do is find either party that we like and take it over from a local level and then move up. And what that does is that you find other people around you, you get a critical mass, people who have things in common with you, and you work out your differences later. But that's what's going to have to happen. And when that happens, that's like a grassroots type of thing. Because people talk, you know, and they say, hey, in my town, we're doing this, we're doing that. You know, so we have to get on the school board, zoning board. We have to start local. because a lot of people, even people you don't agree with, we have the same, a lot of the same interests once you sit down and talk with people, because we see the system has definitely, look at what we're dealing with now. We're an insanity world, right? Because people are uninformed, uninterested, and they just let the system go. The people who worked the system didn't even think it would get like this. They had no idea. If you understand what I'm saying, it's like the monsters run loose. So we should learn from that. We have to start local. That's just my suggestion. That's what I'm doing.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for calling in today. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, Hotep, beloved family. Thank you so much for the question. You know, is nobody but you that can help us to put the right question. And let me just say, I'm just so moved by the callers. The brother talking about the cannabis resources, that's so important because CBD, that's not a part of the so-called psychoactive part, but it's literally saving hundreds, well, probably if they're connected to it, but children who have these seizures near death and on and on. I learned that through the History 2 channel. They're doing something different now, but they had an excellent series about the healing properties. However, because we've been so touched, as it were, by the criminal justice system. I think they did a piece, or either it was on WNYC, NPR, where we're so left out of that billion-dollar business because of arrests and felony. But I want to deal with some aspect with your question, which is just so soothing. And I think, first of all, I was glued to the CNN and MSNBC last night because of this latest huge, or as the Don would say, hugely or bigly scandal. But I mean, to see footage of this guy Flynn, who we know was peculiar, Islamophobe, with Bannon, had been fired.
You're straying off the question.
Okay, right. But the point is that I think we need to stay on top of that. I was thinking of the footage of him with Vladimir Putin, who murders journalists and his opposition and this whole thing. So I think we need to stay in touch with that. I also think we need to study spirituality and mysticism now, because that will give us the those aspects will give us the larger picture as to
but,
how.
You know, I would say this. I appreciate your points of view. The problem I'm having with this is, I think we've spent way too much time being hypothetical. We really need to get off our butts and apply the hypotheses to real life. And by that I mean, if we could find, going with your theory today, if we could find a scenario that produces such spectacular results, it would be very important to share it if it could produce positive results. But we have more than enough ideas already, but very little implementation. And this is what is really causing some anxiety for me, that we don't seem, as a group of people of whatever political persuasion, we don't seem to be too successful at energizing the ideas and certainly bringing them to successful completion. Mm. We yield our own power to a system that clearly doesn't know what it's doing with regard
Insane.
To our interests. It knows what it's doing with regard to its interests. But with regard to our interests, nothing there to show too much. So this is the question, and we have to get serious, give ourselves no room to wiggle. Let's get something articulated and, you know, begun, get it started. and let's measure the success of it, because we're running out of time. We have no time. In many ways, I would say we've already lost significant yardage. You know, we haven't really, we haven't reaped the rewards of all this great thinking that we're doing, because we haven't put them into effect. We let the Democratic Party leadership do that, and we let, you know, other people we assign leadership roles to do that. I'm saying this is time to take back, you know, possession of your own political destiny, and you know, be ruthless and obsessive about our interests. We cannot assign leadership or possession of our political ideas to anybody else, because they show us time and again they cannot be trusted with that responsibility. Look at the state of the country. With all these brains, all this leadership, all the money associated with all of this stuff, the confidence level in the, you know, can-do America and what, look at the state of the country. There's a huge disconnect between what is purported to be our strength, our democratic strength and all of this and stuff, and look where we are. I mean, it's going to get, and I don't mean to be alarmist, it is going to get really bad. And my only concern is we appear not to have too many defenses, not just in terms of politics, but money and a safe environment, all these different things that are related to a quality of life that has been talked about. But when you boil it down, Ma'at, it's really just, you know, concocting a mindset. While people go about doing their thing, the powerful and the wealthy, they're doing their thing. And for them, there's great progress. There's a wonderful rate of progress. But for the rest of the country, not paying attention to the actual quality of life that the vast majority of people are experiencing, it is hell and has been hell, and it's going to be even a hotter hell real soon. Thanks for calling. We'll talk again. Thank you. We have enough time? Yes. Mike from New Jersey. Michael, you're on the air, but we have a condensed time. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Hi, Utrice, and cheers to the family. you know, I don't know what to say, because the gentleman said that we should take over one of the parties, either the Republican or the Democratic, or supposed Democratic, and because the bicameral system, and it's in the Constitution, and so far, nothing has worked. I mean, we have to be frank about it and honest. You know, the closest thing we've had was maybe Bernie, and we had the Rainbow Coalition, and they nurtured themselves in within the Democratic Party. And we've seen that they were co-opted. They ran away. They ran away with all the votes
also,
and everything.
But also, let's be frank also, Michael. This did happen. It absolutely happened. However, this is exactly the point we are on, which is we have to develop a new way of operating politically where we take responsibility for our political investments.
Correct.
Right.
Now should we invest in the parties, or we go outside the party with a third party, which hasn't worked either? In the past, I'm not projecting the future. It may work in the future. But in your, I'm asking you, actually, do you think within those three categories, either outside as a third party or within the bicameral system, investing in one of the parties, which do you think would be most most advantageous, or or potentially effective?
I don't think any one of them. We should not give our support to any single party.
I agree with you. I think it's that it's become a farce, especially the Democrats and Obama, et cetera, where they're so hypocritical, so they say one thing and do something else and think something else and give a speech about something else, and it's so self-contradictory that the parties themselves have been kind of, they're losing their mantle of respectability and authority.
I think the charade is up. We're seeing what the party system, again, we have failed to understand the party system, how it works.
And you include in that the third party as well.
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
That's a party system.
You've heard
also.
Me say, even now, the supporters of the Green Party are not demanding accountability.
Absolutely.
What's the point?
And we've seen the ineffectiveness in terms of the things we need, and it's unable to adapt to the needs of the people, because the needs of the people are changing. This is, you know, reality, actuality is changing moment by moment, but these systems are fixed, and they can't.
Yes, they are.
They are fixed, and not in a good way. They can't engage a malleable, changing society.
I think we ought to play the game very tactically. Vote if you feel there's a reason to vote. I, about 20 years ago, decided there was no reason for me to vote. No compelling reason. I haven't wiped it off the slate completely, but I'm just saying, from the time I made that decision, which was 20 years ago, I have not voted. There was no compelling reason in my mind to vote, so I didn't. We vote our interests, and we vote our interests when we see a need to vote our interests, and we devote the vast majority of our time in developing systems that work and that we control. No party, but systems.
Well, you know, when I look back, you know, at things that were effective, that I thought actually promoted change, where we actually had change, those things happened outside of the political parties, the third parties, the bicameral parties. It happened in movements, social movements. And when I looked a little bit into this, and I see, you know, the progressive movement has been around, and the Quakers actually were very important in what we might term as the progressive movement in terms of abolitionism, women's suffrage, anti-war.
But then it harbored elements that were self-destructive, and it actually fell to them. But what their advantage was overwhelmingly was that they were organized. This was an organized system, organized on the religious beliefs, on what they said were Christian beliefs, and they succeeded in changing society to a very significant degree.
Correct.
But in the end, they self-destructed. All right, thank you for listening today. We could pick this up again on Friday during Free Your Mind Friday. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories, leidstories@gmail.com. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your esteemed company. I really, really love you. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.